Excited about today's message. I'm excited about today's message because I think it's one that we need, not only us here in Allegan Bible Church, but I would say most of America, maybe even around the globe. Not that it is anything great about me, it's all God's Word. So if you have friends or family that you believe would need to hear this message, then please share that with them. Because of some hard work, we can do that through the website or through the app now also, as well as YouTube and Facebook. Or podcast. I was telling John in the back, one day we can look forward to just having sermons beamed directly into our brains, and at that point, I'm not doing that. So anyway, so if I were to ask you, what comes to mind in 2020? When you think of 2020, how would you crystallize 2020 as a year? And probably most of you are thinking of the emoji of the meh face, right? Maybe that's how you'd crystallize it. But let me remind you, if you have forgotten, things that happened over 2020, if I can. Here are some things. I guess I don't have them numbered, but the Australian wildfires, if you were watching the news, thousands of acres burned. Locusts in Africa, again, thousands of acres consumed. The impeachment of Donald Trump, which didn't end up happening, right, but they were pursuing that. The Iranian general Qasem Soleimani was bombed and then set off a whole other chain of events. It was the death of Kobe Bryant. There was the Iowa caucus chaos. Harvey Weinstein was convicted as part of that Me Too movement and sentenced and stuff like that. And then, of course, the COVID-19 pandemic broke forth. And then shortly after that was the death of George Floyd and the whole movement of BLM protests all throughout cities and even around the globe. There was massive closures, not only here in America, but again in other nations as well. And then, of course, locally, or nationally for us, the election debacle and the debates, and then most recently of all, the heralded vaccine is now coming forward. Whew. That's been a crazy, crazy year, right? Some of you guys may have forgotten about some of those things. But yeah, that was 2022. Oh, and then the whole Star of Bethlehem thing. Just, you know, during Christmas, perhaps you saw that in the news as well. Well, let me show you some things that God has done here at ABC that I hope you haven't forgotten. And if you have, I'm excited to remind you. The first, and I think the foremost, is this. We had 13 people baptized this year. Do you know that? That's more than one a month. Yes, that's right. That does deserve a clap or an amen or a hallelujah or any of those things. And for those people who were baptized this year, man, praise God for you and for what God is doing in your life. For all of us who are able to witness that with you, praise God that that happened. So 13 people baptized this year. Also, Allegan Bible Church is continuing to plan for the future in different growing ministries. Believe it or not, although it's hard to believe as we look around this building right now, and as we look at some of our after-school programs or the Lightbearers programs and stuff, we've seen kind of a decrease in numbers. However, we were already stepping out in faith, we're already planning for the growth of these ministries in the future, and we have seen that up until things started to close down, so we can praise God for that. Also, another big one that many churches are facing is we have great givers in this congregation. We have been financially faithful and good stewards in this congregation. There are some churches that have had to close their doors because giving has just dropped off and they haven't been able to keep things going. But in unsure times, you all, I want to say thank you to everyone who's here and everyone who's watching. Thank you for your faithfulness in ministry. Now, the title of today's message, of course, is Rewind. But I also want you to understand that this could also be pronounced Rewind. And so as we look back at 2020, as we look back at things that have happened in the past, I want us to focus on where we're going in the future. And so as we look at this text, today's message is a message about hope. Today's message is a message about future. Today's message is a one that I hope brings excitement. Today's message is one of praise. And even though it might seem out of place, I want to make sure that the last message of a year like 2020 is one of victory and not defeat. But show of hands, are you ready for 2021? Of course you are. So let's read the text. If you have a copy of God's Word, let's read Isaiah 42, 8 through 12. and then Isaiah 43, 15 through 21. We'll start with 42, 8 through 12. I am the Lord, that is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols. Behold, the former things have come to pass, and new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise from the end of the earth, you who go down to the sea and all that fills it, the coastlands and their inhabitants. Let the desert and its cities lift up their voice, the villages of Kedar inhabitants. Let the habitations of Selah sing for joy. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory to the Lord and declare his praise in the coastlands. And then 43, 15 through 21. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters? Who brings forth chariot and horse, army and warrior? They lie down, they cannot rise. They are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert, to give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might declare my praise. So here's what I want to do with you this morning. Like I said, this text is a text of hope. It's a text of peace and joy and excitement. Here's the big idea, and then I want to share with you the application. So this is what I hope you get out of today's message. Firstly, 2020 is a tough year, yet God is in control and is doing something good. The promises of God are sure, and there is a sure way that you can receive them. And so the way that I hope that we can apply this, not only individually but corporately, would be that we will choose to focus our attention on the hope of God for our future and his glory, and we will truly embrace the promises of God by faith by returning God's promises to him in prayer and in praise, and therefore putting our faith into action. Now, I know that's a mouthful. If you're a note taker, just send me a text or an email or a carrier pigeon, and I will get that back to you so you can write that down. Now, here's where this is interesting. So, rewind, right? Some of you, let me explain this to you. When I was a kid, they used to have these things called VHS tapes, okay? Believe it or not, it was a little plastic box that contained a film inside of it, okay? And what you would do is you would watch this, and then, because you were a responsible human being, you would afterwards, either in your VCR, or if you're anything like my parents and or my family, you knew that the VCR only played, it didn't rewind, because if you rewind in the VCR, for some reason it breaks the VCR, so you have your own little rewinding thing, right? And so you'd watch the VHS, and then you'd take it out, and you'd put it in a rewinder, and you'd close that, and it would rewind it so that next time you could watch the movie, because unlike DVDs or streaming, if it wasn't at the beginning, you had to rewind it first. But the interesting thing about this text, or this statement up here that I have here, is this could also be read rewind. And in Acts 2:2 is where I get that term from. It's pneuma, pneumatos. And it's used for both spirit and wind. I want to read you the text. It says, "And suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And then after that, you know that the tongues of fire appeared on their heads, and it was the gift of this Holy Spirit." Well, the interesting part is this idea of spirit and wind can come from the same Hebrew word of pneuma, pneumatos. And so my goal for us as we go into the text today is that this would not only be a look back, and that's fine, but that it would be a rewinding for our souls. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this year and for everything that it contains, because it has revealed our hearts, the hearts of nations, the hearts of families, and our own. God, we praise you that this year is coming to an end because of its hardships, and yet we praise you for your care and goodness through it. Please prepare our hearts for what would be next in 2021. Prepare our hearts for acceptance and for action. Prepare us for your word, and let us serve you in glory. We ask that in your son's name. Amen. So not only are we looking back, but we're looking forward. So let me give you the background of this text, okay? The background of this text is Isaiah. If you have an ESV study Bible, I'm just reading you the ESV study Bible notes, so you can find that in there. But this is what it says. Isaiah lived during the decline of Israel in the shadow of Assyria. So if you don't know a whole lot about Bible history, at this point in time, there's been a separation of the northern part and the southern part of Israel, and they are continuing to follow after false gods. And so because of that, God, in his sovereignty, in his goodness, as well as his justice, he is bringing them into captivity. So Isaiah is in the shadow of Assyria. He spoke the word of God to the people who were deaf and blind, right? They weren't hearing or seeing what God was going to do. So they refused to listen to his warnings of this looming disaster. He warned that the sin of the people of Judah would bring God's judgment, yet he also declared that God is sovereign and would use Cyrus the Persian to return them from exile. So here's the context of what we're talking about. Isaiah is writing to a people who are deaf and blind, who are not listening to the word of God, who because of their sin, God is going to allow them to be oppressed so that he can do what he does best, which is provide salvation and deliverance. Okay? This book speaks about a servant, a man of sorrows, who would be pierced for their transgressions, accomplishing God's purpose in salvation, famously in chapter 52 and 53, which of course is speaking of Jesus Christ. The final chapters are a beautiful description of this new creation in which God will rule as king, judging the wicked, and establishing eternal peace. So here's why I picked this for today. Isaiah is writing to a people who are in a very similar, but let's be honest, worse situation than what we're in. Isaiah is writing to a people who are feeling isolated. He is writing to a people who are feeling hopeless. He is writing to a people who are in captivity, in slavery, who have seen their young men and their young women taken out of the home or taken away from them. They've been subjugated. Remember, this is the same time period and the same kind of general time period that you have books like Daniel being written, where you have Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel, of course, who are being persecuted by an outside source, right? Sound a little familiar to where we're at as Christians in our nation? Yes. And so here's what I think Isaiah is telling us that I hope that we can glean from this for not only the end of this year, but for the beginning of 2021. Firstly, this may sound simple, the Lord is the Lord. I know it's simple, and I'm glad that you're saying amen, but here's the thing. Don't we sometimes forget this is the case? I know it is the case for me. My wife tells me I have this thing where every winter I get sad, probably because she's turned me into a beach bum. I used to snowboard till I busted my knee. Not anymore. Too old for that. But anyway, we sometimes forget that God is God. We sometimes forget that he is the Lord. And I want for you to see, and maybe it's even hard for you to believe in a year like this year, or maybe you have family members that it's hard for them to believe in a year like this year, because they say things like, well, if this is the case, then why would God let this happen? Or X, or Y, or Z, right? But the fact of the matter is God tells us, and he tells Israel, that he is the Lord. Look with me at this text as we go into 42:8 and 43:15. It says, I am the Lord, that is my name, my glory I give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols. Or in 43:15, I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. See, Israel is in great distress, they're in captivity, and God starts by telling them, I am the same. God starts by telling them, I am God. You have to put yourself in the situation because it's a little different here in America, right? When we think of idolatry, I think all of us think of Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom, right? Or something like that, right? Or the Lost Ark or one of those things. Just pick your Indiana Jones movie. There's probably idolatry in it somewhere. It's a theme, right? But the fact of the matter is we're not talking for us about little carved statues that are in somebody's basement that we bow down to. For some in America, maybe that is the case. But for us, there's a whole other set of idols and false gods that we worship. But in the midst of all those things, where they're there and where they're oppressed by a nation that tells them that if they bow down to somebody else, that they're going to be thrown into a fiery furnace, that they can't pray to anybody else, or they're going to be thrown into the den of lions, in this situation, he starts by telling them, I'm still God. And that is what the book of Isaiah has always been talking to them about. Remember I said that he was warning them ahead of time? Now, I don't know if America's in this situation because of sin. I know there are some preachers that will tell you that point blank. I can tell you that sin has consequences. Remember, we had a whole sermon about that. I can tell you that individual sins do cause consequences not only for them, but for people around them. So could America be in the situation that we're in currently because of sin? I would say maybe, but also yes, if you think of it of because of the fall, because of original sin, everything's kind of jankety now anyway, right? And so it's only going to continue to get more and more bad. I was going to reuse jankety, but I was like, you can't use the word twice. Worse and worse and worse until, right, the Bible talks about these birth pains and then eventually Jesus will return again. And how he starts all of this is to remind them of who he is. And so it's so paramount that we don't forget that. I am the Lord. That is my name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to these carved idols. I am the Lord, the Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. In a time where there is no king, in a time where they are in captivity, in a time where they are in distress, what God is telling them is that very well, for Israel, it very well may have been their relationship that got them in the situation. Their relationship with God was bad. But it's also going to be their relationship with God that will get them out. I hope that that is the case for you during 2020. I hope that as you throughout your lives, especially those of you who are younger and have a little bit more time to reflect, I hope that as you look back, you are able to tell your kids or your grandkids how your faith in your God and the relationship that you had with your God got you through tough times. And I know for all the senior saints that are here, that would be a good spot for an amen. Because you've experienced other tough times where you had to be reminded that the Lord is the Lord. The relationship might have got them in it, but their relationship with him is going to get out of it. He is still God. And by the way, he says he is still their God. Look at the text here. The Holy One, the Creator of Israel, the personal God of the Jews. And brother or sister, he's your personal God too. He wants a personal relationship with you. And through it, 2020, come heck or high water, we're going to get through it. I think of the importance of lighthouses. Elisa and I said we like to go to beaches. We don't often go to lighthouses, although we do sometimes. Now, it used to be where people would have to live at the lighthouse, and they'd have to take care of it. And it was way back in the day, it was like oil lamps and stuff, and then they got this newfangled technology of electricity, and then they had, you know, incandescent light bulbs and all those kind of things, and now they have them on timers, and now they have GPS, and they don't even need lighthouses because they're no longer necessary. But we like to go, we've seen them sometimes. And I think of how important they must have been to those sailors and those captains who it was only the light that would cause them to be safe. It was literally, they had to trust the lighthouse person, and the lighthouse person had to maintain the light, or they would crash on the rocks. God wants to be your God. He wants your attention. He wants your affection. He wants your adoration, and he wants your action. Let us not forget that the Lord is the Lord. Next, his promises are true and they are sure. Isaiah 42:9a and Isaiah 43:16-17. I want to ask you, what has God done? I want to ask you, what has God done in your life? If you start to make a list of the things God has done for you and seen you through, I believe that if you're honest and introspective, that list will far outweigh the things of the hardships that you have had to suffer through. And so then the second thing I want to ask you is this. Because this is the case, because his promises are true and are sure, what promises do you need to be reminded of today? What promises do you need to be re-winded, have that new, fresh breath in your life? Let's look at the text, 42:9a. Behold, the former things have come to pass. And then Isaiah 43:16-17. Thus says the Lord, who makes a way in the sea, a path in the mighty waters, who brings forth chariot and horse, army and warrior. They lie down, they cannot rise, they are extinguished, quenched like a wick. Now, he says in here, behold, the former things they have come to pass. And we might say, what former things, Isaiah? Aren't you glad that he answers that in this next chapter? And I don't know about you, but my mind immediately goes to the Exodus. If you think about his promises and how they're true and how they're sure, you think of Israel, of another time that they were oppressed, that they were slaved, that they were helpless. Your mind immediately goes to Pharaoh in Egypt. God told them that they would be there. He told them they would be there for 400 years and then they would be delivered out of this. Do you remember who he told that to? Abraham. Do you remember how who came before Abraham? Noah. Noah was told about a flood that no one had ever seen before. Noah was told to build an ark. It was probably the laughingstock of his community. Let's just be honest. And then it came to pass. Abraham was told that he, in his old age, with his old wife, would have a new baby. And he was happy about that. I've had four kids. When I'm old, I don't want a new baby. Especially not one like our first who had colic. No thanks. But anyway, Abraham and his wife were told they were going to have a baby. And it's mentioned in Scripture how old they were so that we would understand probably not going to happen. Sarah laughs about it. And it happens. And these are the people of Abraham. This whole nation is because of that promise. You see, his promises are true and are sure. Where there is no way, God makes a way. And his promises, I want you to see, or I hope that you will see, are always, always for deliverance and salvation of his people. Time and time again, God's promises boiled down are basically this. I am God. And for no other reason than that, because I'm God, I'm going to save you because I love you and I want a relationship with you. Now, there's things you have to do to do that part. But if you boil all of them down, it's basically that. He's God and he's going to save you because he loves you to his chosen people. His promises are sure and they are true. I don't know if you're following news or if you have followed it. Back in 2018, there was a false siren in Hawaii. Now what's happening, apparently there's a volcano starting to erupt, and that also happened before, and who knows what that's going to look like. And my heart goes out to those people because that's got to be super scary, having this river of fire coming. Anyway, they have a siren system there. Now, we have a siren system here also, right? And it goes off, I think, every day at noon to test it. But in Hawaii, they have a siren system. And this siren system has to be active and it has to be heated because they live on an island. There's no place for them to go. In 2018, there was a missile scare. They thought a missile was coming in. The sirens went off, and it was not the case. Can you imagine the pandemonium that happened that day? Or today? As this volcano is starting to erupt. I would assume that these sirens will also be used in case of an emergency for that. Or if there would ever be some big, water wave thing. Whatever that's, tsunami, fine, that's fine. Yeah, whatever, I call it a water wave thing. But that's what these sirens are for. These sirens are to alarm the people so that there is action. The difference between these Hawaiian sirens and God's promises is when God delivers a promise, it will take place. When the sirens go off, it could be a false alarm. See, no matter the hopelessness you may feel by the situation or by sight, that does not change the sovereignty of God. And that is what he is reminding Israel of through Isaiah. Behold, the former things have come to pass. And therefore, that gives you hope for what he is about to say next, which is that he has great things planned for you. Now, I understand why this kind of message might be taken to the extreme, and we might say things like, so live your best life today. You will not hear me say that, okay, other than to to mock it, I suppose. But I stand behind the claim that God has great things planned for you, for all of you individually, as well as for us as Allegan Bible Church corporately, and I believe the church globally, the real church, not just universalism. So, if this is the first time you're hearing that today, whether in this room or whether watching online, I want for you to understand that God has a plan for you. And although 2020 might have been hard, and for some of us, more hard than others, because I know some of us have been through other hardships than just having to work from home and wear a face mask when we go grocery shopping. There are some people who have experienced loss. There are some families that have an uptick of joblessness or abuse or substance abuse or a myriad of other things that are going on. So I'm not downplaying the severity of some people's hardships that they're going through, nor, by the way, am I downplaying the hardships that Israel is experiencing currently as Isaiah writes this. But he says he, God, has great things planned for you. And so I want to ask you this question. Will you commit to ending this year clinging to the fact that there is hope in the year to come? Let's read the text. I have this broken up in two. John in the back is going to run us through this here, but I have on here 43:18-19 and 42:9-10. I think I have 9 and 10 first. Is that correct? Oh, I went the wrong way. Thank you, John. So 18 through 19 of 43. Remember not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? I will make a way in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. And then 42, 9 and 10. Behold, the former things have come to pass, the new things I now declare. Before they spring forth, I tell you of them. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise from the end of the earth, you who go down to the sea and all that fills its coastlands and its inhabitants. Now, let's go back just for a minute to 18 through 19 if we can. Yes. I've highlighted it for you. Behold not the former things, nor consider the things of old. Is what God is saying here to forget the Exodus? Because that's what is in Israel's mind right now. Remember, he's talked about quenching the wick, making a way in the water. Is he really suggesting to them, don't ever think about the Exodus anymore? No, absolutely not. What he's saying is, there's a goodness in faith-filled forgetfulness. Let me explain what I mean by that. What faith-filled forgetfulness is this. When Israel was walking out of Exodus and they were wandering in the desert, they did not have faith-filled forgetfulness. Do you know how I know that? When they were wandering in the desert, they kept complaining and saying things like, it would be better for us if we went back to Egypt. Things would have been better if we wouldn't have followed this crazy guy out into the wilderness. Things would have been better if we could just serve those old Egyptian gods. We had food back then. We weren't wandering back then. They did not have faith-filled forgetfulness. What does faith-filled forgetfulness look like? It looks like not being bogged down in the current situation because you have remembering the previous thing, and so you're not considering that as something that continues to define you. Let me try to re-explain that. In Christ, a bad situation or a scar of the past does not define you. It only refines you. I'll re-say that, okay? Faith-filled forgetfulness is understanding that a bad situation does not define you, it only refines you. And so we see here what he says next. Behold, I am doing a new thing, now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? Let us not be so concerned about what the government may decree, about what 2021 might bring. Let us not be so concerned about that we forget to look forward to what God is doing. I don't know if you've ever been seen this before. I'm sure that you have, but maybe it's been a while since you took notice of it. Have you ever seen like a big slab of concrete, and then you've got that one crack in the pavement where that dandelion, it's always a dandelion, right? It's never like a rose or something that, or you know, or a peony or something that we would like to have. It's always that dandelion, right? Or crabgrass. It's always crabgrass. But picture that in your mind. The slab of concrete, and you have that crack where that crabgrass grows through. And most of us think to ourselves, somebody ought to pull that weed or spray this thing. But do you ever think for a moment, of how glorious that is for that little sprout of crabgrass that has made it through the tough exterior of concrete, that somehow, by God's goodness in designing that weedy little plant, that it has somehow wormed its way through the very smallest space possible to be exposed to the light that God has given it for its nutrients and growth? Behold, I'm doing a new thing. Now it springs forth. Do you not perceive it? And then go to the next verse here. I love how he says this. Before the former things have come to pass, new things I declare, before they spring forth, I tell you of them. This is this idea of this shoot, of this plant. See, my kids, so we planted a garden for the first time this year. And we killed a lot of it. But what my kids were so excited about was when they saw those little sprouts to come forth. So they planted the seed, and we just have to have faith and believe that when we plant that seed and we take care of it and we do the way that it's supposed to be done, the way God designed it to do, that we give it the food and the water and the nutrients and the sunlight and all those things, that pretty soon this little sprout will come out. And then eventually we will be able to harvest tomatoes or, you know, all these other things that we have from that. This is the idea. This is the concept that he's giving. He's saying, look, this thing is springing forth. You don't even see it yet. The sap is running. Pretty soon there will be buds. Pretty soon there will be blossoms. Do you see the promise that is happening here? God's desire is your good, and his good for you is so much bigger than you can even comprehend. That is why we love people like Paul, who said, I consider these present sufferings not worth mentioning compared to the glory, right? Or he says, you know, I'm going to get off all these things that are encumbering me, and I'm going to run the race, and I'm going to fight the good fight. Because Paul understands this to be the case, that God has great things planned for you. He has great things planned for us. The great thing is fulfilled here in Isaiah in the person of the Messiah. And we have to at least, if not stop there and camp there for the rest of this message, we have to definitely acknowledge it. Because, beloved, there is no better thing that God has for you other than receiving the gift of Jesus Christ and him crucified for you. That is the first best thing he has for you. So if you haven't received Jesus Christ as your own personal Lord and Savior, whether here in this room or whether online, that's the first best thing he has planned for you, that Jesus died for you. It's a gift that he offers to you if you will receive it. But did you know, O Christian brother and sister, that that's not the end of your story? That there is a sanctification process? That you should, from the day of your salvation, if you have a testimony to tell, that past that you should have other mile markers along the road, and if God grants you another day of life, you will have more mile markers down the road where you can look back and see the good things that God has for you. And not only that, not only is there salvation, but there's also participation in his kingdom that he has given you by the same Spirit, the Spirit of wind, powers, that you have gifts that you are to use for the edification of the body, that you can, did you understand that you can co-labor with Christ in the building of his kingdom? That is what brings me joy every single Sunday. I get to stand up here and say things that God already wrote to a people who God has already saved or who is in the midst of saving, so that they can grow and continue to do the things that God has asked and equipped them to do. And at the end of my life, he gets to tell me, well done, good and faithful servant, for what? For participating with him in the work that he and here's the thing, he has that great same thing planned for you. Maybe not preaching, maybe it's something else. But he has something great planned for you if you'll let him work it out. You don't even necessarily need to perceive it ahead of time. And he tells us the way to interact with that is to sing new songs of praise. I'm not saying throw hymns out. What I'm saying is, do you understand we're going to have new things to sing about in the future? Because of what he's done, you personally will have new things of praise to offer back to God. That is the right and the appropriate response. And so I want to ask you this morning, do you believe this message? Do you recognize the hope, the joy, and the power of these promises? Even in a season like this, even in a season of adversity, God is doing a good work. And we are just waiting to see it spring forth. So, lastly, by offering up prayer and praise, we embrace God's good plans. Faith. What does faith mean? Can anybody tell me? I'll say it with you. Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, right? And there's more to it than that. But faith is the assurance. I mean, there's more to that verse. I'm just going to end it there. Faith is the assurance of these things hoped for. And so when we offer up praise, when we offer up prayer, based on the promises that God has given beforehand. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, right? That there is a hope and a future. That when Israel in this time offered up prayers and praises to God, they were in essence embracing what God had promised them and told them. That when you offer up prayers and praises to God about your own Christian walk and how he will work this out for good, for all those who love him, and where he will give you the strength to do these things, that you are embracing the promises that he's given you. And this is what the text says about that. It says in verses 11 and 12 and 20 through 21, "Let the desert and its cities lift up their voice, the villages of Kedar's inhabitants. Let the habitants of Selah sing for joy. Let them shout from the top of the mountains. Let them give glory to the Lord and declare his praises in the coastlands." Isaiah 43, 20 and 21 say, "The wild beasts will honor me, the jackals and the ostriches." Now, I know what you're probably thinking if you don't know some stuff behind this. You're probably thinking, out of all the animals that Isaiah could talk about right now, what's so good about Wile E. Coyote and the Roadrunner? I don't get it, right? Like, what's going on? Was he just a Looney Tune fan? I'm not sure, right? No. Here's what you need to understand. When you watch that cartoon, what is around Wile E. and the Roadrunner? What's there? What are they running through? The desert. And Wile E. is chasing he's chasing the Roadrunner. Why? Because he's starving, hungry. That's why these creatures are in the text. Jackals and ostriches are known for being desolate, cursed creatures. They just roam around. The ostrich is so stupid, it sticks its head in the sand to try to protect itself, and sometimes it'll just walk away from its nest and won't be able to find its way back there. Jackals are continuously creatures of sly, you know, eating dead carcasses and things. They're just nasty creatures. He's saying the wild beasts are going to honor me, even these ones that we think nothing of. The jackals and the ostriches, for I give water in the wilderness, rivers in the desert. I give drink to my chosen people, the people whom I formed for myself, that they might declare my praise. So what he's saying is there's going to be growth where we previously saw none. You know, that's encouraging to me. It's encouraging to me because I look back at my life beforehand and I see where I was so stupid and selfish outside of salvation, and then I see the transition from non-Christian to Christian where I was saved and then my mind was redeemed and then over time, and then now, today, sometimes I feel down and I think, man, I still battle with this or with that or with the other thing, right? And when is there ever going to be victory over this? But then I can have that faith-filled forgetfulness, or I can look back and I can say, hey, he's got me through that. He saved me from that. He's changed my mind about that. And so therefore, there's hope for the future. And I know that there's going to be a stream of water in the desert and the shoots that he has put forward. I don't even have to see them yet because I know that they're there and I can hope in them. That's what he's saying here. So that's why it's not only the title of this is not only Rewind, Looking Back, but I hope more so it is a rewinding about looking in the future. And it is because of the promises that God has to us, because he is the Lord, right? Because he has good and true promises because he has great things planned for you, that we can offer up prayers and praises to embrace these plans as Samuel does. And yes, I know, I'm sorry we're done with Samuel, but I'm going to go back just for this one time. Because he says, if for you, O Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, have made this revelation to your servant, saying, I will build your house. So this is what he says. Because you've told me about that, because I believe that, because you've given a good, sure promise about my blessing in the future, even though I can't see it. This is encompassing everything we've talked about yet this morning. Because of that, therefore, your servant has found courage to pray this prayer to you. David was a man after God's own heart because he embraced the promises of God by offering it back to him in praises and in prayers, and so by doing, putting his faith in action, and that is what I want for you. Wind chimes do not make noise unless the wind blows, and beloved, the church does not have action unless the Spirit falls upon it. Jesus said, your faith has healed you. By being a people who continuously offer up prayers and praises, our faith is also put into action. So in closing, the big idea was this. 2020 was a tough year. Yet, do not be mistaken. God is in control and he is doing something good. He has given us a promise. A promise to never leave us, to never forsake us. A promise to continue to help us persevere and endure, even in the face of hardships. Even, he says, if you're dragged before governors and kings, do not worry about what you will say. The words will be given to you. So I am praying for us this year that the application would be this, that we will choose to focus our attention on the hope of God for the future of his glory, and that we will truly embrace the promises of God by faith, by returning these promises to him in praise and in prayer, even when we can't see those shoots going forth. And that by doing this, we will have a fresh wind and a fresh fire for 2021, as we don't only look back, but move to the future. Let's pray. God, our Father, we are thankful that we are at the end of 2020. This year has been hard for all of us. And it is our prayer that 2021 would be not only a new year, but a year of hope and of progress. God, this year we have sometimes been tired, sometimes angry, sometimes sad, sometimes anxious. Help remind us of your hope daily, of your promises and your power. Let us end this year by springing forth in us rivers of hope and prepare our hearts for what you will do next. It's in your name we pray. Amen. Well, let us stand together.